All right. How am I doing? Not yet, not yet, not yet, not yet. Do you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Verizon? Yeah? Can you hear me now? Perfect, perfect. All right, great, great, great. Oh, man, what a great time of worship. Thank you, Johnny. Well done. Thank you. Awesome time of worship. It's so funny. I saw you playing and I forgot you could. And I said, oh, yeah, he could do that. So awesome. Oh, man, great time. Great time. So guess what? I'm in Ephesians chapter 6. In case you forgot, I'll be in Ephesians chapter 6. We are going to finish up this talk on the armor of God. And I know some of you were like, well, we finished the armor yesterday, so what more could there be? And I'm still in chapter 6. There is so much more left in there. And so we are going to spend the next whatever time I get to have and talk more about this armor of God. So again, I want to start from chapter 6, verse 10. And it says this, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle as a church is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, again, when, not if, when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we praise your name and we thank you. And we give you glory and honor for all that you have done and all that you're about to do. We thank you for the wisdom and the truth and the power of your Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Lord, at this moment, we pray that your Spirit will come upon us and that we would not just be hearers of this word, but doers, that this word will have transformative spirit in it, so that when we leave this place, we are not the same as when we walked in. Lord, this humble prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Interesting, in verse 18, it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always be praying for all of the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly. You would expect that when you put on armor, you would be ready to fight. I mean, he gave you a helmet. He gave you a belt. He gave you a breastplate. He's given you a shield, and he's given you a sword. And the natural expectation is to go charge. Except, he tells you to put on the full armor of God, and he gives you a second offensive weapon. Prayer. It's not what you would expect a soldier to go do. But what he wants you to do, as he mentioned in previous chapters, is to pray, to kneel down and pray. He says, and pray on all occasions. But you know what's interesting? It's the one thing, it's the most powerful thing And I'll show you that a little bit more as we go through the sermon. It's the most powerful thing that a Christian can do is pray. Yet in churches all around, prayer is not the most important thing. Let me explain it in two ways. Number one, when I was graduating from my bachelor's degree, one of my focus was to see churches. I did developmental management, right? And I wanted to work in a nonprofit sector. At least that was my plan at some point. By the way, I wasn't born with this idea of being a pastor. It was kind of default when you lose your job. And God was like, I was calling you all this time, but I had to make you lose your job. That's a long story for another time. So if Johnny brings me back, you might hear that story. Wow, did he just put in a sales plug-in? Wasn't that good? That was good, right? That was good. Because now all of you are like, why is he not back? I'm never coming back to Spruce. Spruce what? What is it? I don't care. It doesn't matter. Anyway, so I go into ministry, right? Anyway, long story short, just wanting to know the Lord more, I end up in ministry. And what I noticed in my research for my bachelor's degree, I had to go and interview certain churches. And because I had to show specifically how the nonprofit of religious management, that's the way I had to put it, short term for it, churches, how do they manage? What are some ministries that they do? And check, how do people approach that? The lowest attended thing in a church is prayer. Prayer. And it actually doesn't matter what time you do it. Went to one church that was out in another part of New York, St. Matthew's, and they had their prayer meeting right before the service. Right? Smart move. They're coming to church anyway. They even offered them bagels. You know how you guys show up when there's food? Right? And so, but low, still super low attendance for a church that had 300 plus people. Maybe 10? And then they trickled in halfway through the worship service because they do what you guys do. We can miss the first two songs because after that they greet one another. And you know, all that hands and touchy stuff, and I'm not really down for it. Plus, we say hi to everybody every single week. It's the same people, because if you're Baptist, you sit in the same spot every week. So you don't want to shake their hands again like, hey, guess what? It's me again, right? So you trickle in after the second or third song. Some of you guys are so convicted. You're like, how does he know this, right? Interviewed another church, 700 people. They had their services smack dab in the middle of the week. There's an interesting story behind why prayer meeting is in the middle of the week. Not going to explain that, but you should Google it. It actually is on there. But smack dab in the middle of the week, you know, that Wednesday night prayer meeting, right? 700 people, 210 of them show up for this prayer meeting. Yeah, right? Where's the 490 that's left? Like, what? Where are they? Most least attended ministry in the church, which is the battery by which the church operates, and it's prayer. It's always been prayer. Prayer is always the most difficult thing to get people to attend. And it's amazing the kind of stories you'll hear why people miss prayer meeting. My favorite one is I forgot. In my church, we're like, we've been doing this for 90 years. It's never changed. If your church is older, you've been doing it longer. It's never changed. You know how it is, right? You never change the time. You never change the date. God forbid you move Wednesday to Tuesday. You forget that stuff. Now, some of your churches have that flexibility. We're still really rigid. And it's like, if you move it from Wednesday, then you get the, you know, sometimes the old timers will go, what do we do now on Wednesday? You get what I mean? Young people go, why in the middle of the week? Oh, well, it's hump day, right? Prayer, the most least attended thing. Yet how do we fight as believers if we're not going to fight by prayer? Sometimes we come to prayer meeting and say nothing. You have people like that? It's you, right? Come to prayer meeting, say nothing. And yet God is very okay with thank you. Watched a great comedian was doing this thing, and it was called a circle of prayer, and it's hilarious how people pray and what they do. And at the end of the circle, this one little girl just said, God, help me. Simple. Save me, is what Peter said when he was sinking. Now, dear Heavenly Father, I just want you to know, I ask you for forgiveness of all my sins, but God, I'm drowning, and I just want you to know that I really trust in you. And, you know, David said to put all my faith in you, and as the water's getting up to his neck, he's like, Lord of lights, I want you to know that you are God of above all things, and I want you to know that. You ever have people who are so eloquent in their prayer, they start quoting everything? And sometimes I'm like, and what does the Bible say? Oh, don't be like the Pharisees who pray out loud so everybody could hear how fancy they sound. Lord, save me. Jesus reached out his hand, pulled Peter out of the water. Simple prayer. Sometimes prayers are silent. I was on a prayer call the other day, and this lady said, I have a silent prayer. And for some reason, that resonated with everybody. We know what that's like. Can't say it, don't want to say it, it's too heavy. Sometimes you let it out, and it's just hard. And it's not like God doesn't know. He still wants you to come to him. So you tell the body of Christ, hey, help me. You know, I believe that what Paul teaches us here in this particular passage is that prayer is the defense. It's the defense and the offense against evil. It's not for you to necessarily run out and do something, but to stop where you are and pray. You know, it's interesting in the scripture, the disciples get together and they want to know how to do something. It's actually the only time they asked Jesus to teach them something. They didn't ask Jesus, teach us how to lead people to Christ or to you. In fact, they didn't even ask Jesus, teach us how to preach. Teach us how to fill up the way or the Christian church with people. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. We want to know how to talk to God the way you talk to God. Teach us how to pray. It's interesting, in that teaching, that Our Father that we know, there's a statement in there that we gloss over. Lord, deliver us from evil. That's actually in the prayer. Deliver us from what evil is he talking about? He's not talking about a bad day, by the way. He's not saying deliver us from evil people per se, but Jesus is specifically speaking about the devil. Did you know that? Deliver us. In fact, some original manuscripts actually have it written, deliver us from the evil one. And yet, how many times in our prayer do we ask God to deliver us? By the way, interesting, it's not save us from the evil one. It's not stop the evil one from attacking us. It's to deliver us. You're already in it. And sometimes you don't even know. You know, when you really study that prayer, what a creepy statement to put in there, deliver us. I'd be like, hey, how about you prevent us? That's a good one. Prevent us from evil. Or prevent the evil one from attacking us. Or the statement you hear a lot, give us a hedge of protection. You ever heard that? Yeah, and my professor once said years ago, he says, you know, you could ask God for a hedge of protection, just make sure when the hedge goes around, he's not in there with you. And I was like, oh. So then I actually changed my prayer. Lord, keep us from evil and keep evil from us. That way, maybe it covers both sides. And Jesus said, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. And the armor of God is not necessarily for us just to attack, but to realize that there really is an evil one who is doing everything that he can to destroy everything that we are. Did you know there are three times more passages on hell than there is on heaven? Did you know that Jesus talks about money and the devil and evil more than he talks about salvation? There's a reason he does that. It's to awake the church and God's people to know that there is real spiritual wickedness out there, and you ought to ask God, deliver us from evil. Now, let me be clear. Satan's tactics, even though his schemes may change, his tactics really doesn't. And God calls him, he is the father of lies. which also translate as deception. Sometimes the greatest thing he can do is just to deceive you. Let me give you an example. I brought up this book before Screwtape Letters, thank you, right, by C.S. Lewis. And if you have not read the book, I highly recommend it. I want to read an excerpt from you, from the book. The two demons are dealing with destroying the life of a Christian, and listen to what, and they write letters back and forth, right? Spoiler alert. Dear Wormwood, the amateur's suggestion in your last letter warned me that it is high time for me to write to you fully on the painful subject of prayer. The best thing, where it is possible, is to keep the patient from the serious intention of prayer altogether. My dear Wormwood, do whatever possible to stop him from praying. Do you not know that when they pray, they communicate with him directly to his face? You must distract him. You can do this well by keeping, listen now, you could do this well by keeping him busy. If you can, keep him busy in the job or keep him busy in the choir. In fact, keep him praying to that image that's in his room. I don't care if it's a crucifix or that one's Virgin Mother. Eventually, he will focus on the object more than the Creator, and that will remove him from God altogether. Wow. Wow. It's some good writing by C.S. Lewis, by the way. Let me just throw that out there. Keep him from praying. Why? It is the only mechanism of the believer that he can communicate with God directly. It's the only mechanism by which that she can reach to the face of God by faith and make any request, and he hears it. And yet, it's the tack on in our prayer service, in our services, I should say. The emphasis is on preaching, but throw prayer in there just so that, you know, there's prayer with God's people. It's not the emphasis of the church. Yet, both Isaiah and Jesus require that the house of God be a house of prayer. Now, this is not a brag. This is actually something that we found in our church that we had to do. We were doing prayer meetings, and at the time when I got into the church, it was maybe just shy of 100. We had reached about 200 and change, and I realized the prayer meeting size had not changed. And we've been talking about prayer meeting, the same 11 people keep showing up. And it's like this really cool clique that formed, and I thought, this is just ridiculous. So I said to the church, I said, hey, if you're not going to come to prayer meeting, I'm going to bring it to you. So they took me seriously. So one day, out of surprise, I didn't tell them, we had our worship team sing 3 songs. I went up there. I gave a devotion that literally lasted, and if Nick were here to tell you the truth, it literally lasted 4 minutes and 13 seconds. Don't know why. But then we started looking at everything, 4:13, right? Chapter 4, verse 13. I'm just kidding. Anyway, we turned the whole prayer service, into a prayer meeting. No sermons, nothing else. Whole thing. You know, it's interesting. I told other pastors about this, and everyone goes, you're crazy. I can't believe you did that. Did people stop showing up? No, the church grew. We do it 2 to 3 times a year. And we never tell them when. Do you know why? Somebody tell me, why do you think we never tell them when we're going to do it? They're not going to show up. They're not going to show up. So I'm sitting in an elders meeting. One of my elders, he's a bit perturbed. You ever had a perturbed elder? If you've never had that, it's probably you. You're perturbed. We talk about you on the outside. It's true. I had a perturbed elder. He said, listen, you can't keep doing this. You got to tell the people so that they know. Now, one service we had a week, just about 200 and change in the service, right? Just a little over 200. And as a good pastor, I listened to my elder. I said, hey, guys, next week we're going to have a prayer service. Shout out to me what you think the number is of how many people showed up. 130? Lower. You're pretty close. 90? 93. 93 people showed up. And I kid you not, this elder goes, you know what? We will never tell him again. I said, that's a good idea. So I waited 2 weeks and I did it again. I did it again. Church grew. Communion service. You know that's your favorite time? Because if you're like me, first of the month, more people show up. Guess what? Turned it into a prayer service. Still did communion. Then we did it again the next week. There's a reason why we do this. And I tell you to this day, the pastors in my circle, they are terrified. It's true. They're absolutely afraid to turn the preaching service into a service of prayer. And I truly believe with all my heart, the devil has convinced them that people will leave. And they just won't. And you would be surprised the things that, by the way, let me tell you just a really quick story. This is a good one. It's a really good one. I won't get close because then we're going to do something really fun. We do this prayer service. And at the end of it, I said, hey, if anybody want to give their life to Christ, you know, this is a great opportunity to do so. So this couple, first time they come in, which is the greatest fear, right? What if they come in for the first time? They're expecting good preaching because they watched it online and you just shut the whole thing down to a prayer service. You got to love your board. Listen, this couple comes in first time and we break up into groups, into circles, and we start praying. And we kind of give them things to pray. Pray about the church, pray about your country, pray about, you know, pray for the people in your group, get to know each other. Because you know how you come to church and you don't want to meet people? It's great. And so we're sitting in this group, this family, first time they're sitting there. At the end of it, this man gives his life to Christ, and then his wife gives his life to Christ, and his son, who's probably in his maybe 19, 20 years old, he gives his life to Christ too. I'm like, wow, this is really awesome. Whole family. At the end of it, the guy says out loud, to another man, how did you know what I was going through? The guy says, I don't know, brother. I just prayed. And tears is running down his eyes. He says, man, I didn't think this was going to happen today. 4 months later, we baptized this whole family. I'm telling you, it works. Because there's power when the church comes together and prays. All right. So now this is our last session. Let's make it really fun. I need some help here. I need two married couples. Two married couples. I see some of you guys pointing at your friend. Hey, you guys are still married. Let's go. Two married couples, come forward, please. Come forward. All right, come on. I need another married couple. Don't be shy. Oh my gosh. It's all right to be married. Come forward, please. Hey, who are you guys pointing at? Who are you pointing at? Let me just do you two on the end? Yeah, then come forward. You guys, I don't care what your relationship is. Come forward. You're married. You're married, right? Right? Oh, that's fine. You could be here too. Three married couples, triple of fun, right? What's wrong with my math? Right? So stay right where you are. You're going to be standing for a while. I'm telling you, this is going to bless your relationship, right? I need two single people. Single. Unmarried. Single. Hey, you pointed, so you might as well come up. Yeah, I need another one. The single people. Don't be shy. Single. Single. I need a single person. It's gonna work, trust me.
Marcus, it's okay to look up here, brother.
Single. So the rest of you are married. This is frustrating. All right. You're the only, you know what? I'm proud of you, man. You represent a group of people who are really scared to come up here, but that's all right. That's all right. I need, and if a single person, yeah? Yeah? All right. Awesome. Don't come up here and mess things up, right? Like it's on camera. And if you have a girlfriend watching, she might be like, she's there? Oh, man. No, it's fine. I'll mess with you. He's like, oh, man, what have I done? All right. I need two men from the same church and two women from the same church. Is that possible? Two men from the same church and two women from the same church. You don't have to be related, by the way. You don't have to. It actually works better if you're not. Two women from the same church. I got one woman over there. Grab your partner, do-si-do. Two women from the same church. All right, so far so good. You guys could spread out a little bit more. It's fine. So we could see the group. They could see you. All right. This is really good. This is really good. All right. All right. All right. All right. Let's close in a word of prayer. No, just kidding. Oh, man. All right. Where's my single guy? You can stand right here. I want people to know you exist, man. Because there's another single guy in here. And there's another single woman, but they don't want to come out. But don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. All right, let me point out a fact here. Y'all look good. Y'all look good. The married couples, you can get a little closer together because it's going to matter in a minute, right? It's going to matter in a minute. Let me turn to the congregation for a moment. You guys are the church. We are one church. Y'all with me? All right, Church of Spruce Lake, let's go. Listen, you guys don't answer. All right, just y'all with me? So it's the armor of God. What's missing from the armor? Think about it for a moment. You can use your Bibles and cheat. That's totally fine. Open book exam. There's something missing in the armor. It's missing for good reason too, but it's missing. Say it out loud, lady. Did y'all realize that the back is not protected? Right. Now, let me explain why the back is not protected. It's actually a fighting tactic. And I want you guys to imitate the tactic, right? In our current military, your soldiers are trained to run side by side. In the Roman military, they're not trained to do so. They actually do this tactic, and there's a terminology for it, but it's a weird terminology anyway. But what they do is they literally fight back to back. They literally fight back to back. They literally fight. Oh yeah. 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 This is gonna be so good. They fight back to back. And there's a reason for that. It's to confuse their enemy. As they are fighting, when one person realizes there's an opening, he will tap the other on the side. He will tap the other on the side, and they will immediately turn. Now, can you imagine how confusing that is to watch someone spin around and it surprises you and all of a sudden you're off guard? Do you see how crazy that is? And there's a reason the back is left out. And they would do this all the time, this kind of spinning thing. And the enemy would just be thrown off. Usually the other person has a different, listen now, it's still good. Usually the other person, you don't have to do anything because you don't have anything, but usually the other person would have a different kind of weapon. And they would do this on purpose. And this is why they would watch each other. This is where the terminology, I got your back, came from. Literally, this is where the terminology came from. I got your back. All right. Now, let's make this, now I turn to you, make this a little more interesting. What? You better protect each other's back. Oh, come on. All right. Let's make this a little interesting, right? Try not to face in the same direction. So don't worry about the person behind you. So, for example, if the two of you, what's your names? Jennifer? Huh? Bethuel. So, Bethuel, you face this way, and Jennifer, you face that way, right? You guys can stay just the way you are. You can stay just the way you are. You got a good, I like your angle. Great, 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 great. All right, great. This is going to work. This is going to work. I think it will work, right? I need the congregation to watch. You are part of the show, okay? Okay, my wife said okay. She represents all of you, all right? Because, you know, in the church, you always have to have one person represent the whole. All right, Mary, come on. All right? This is really important to understand, and here's the reason why. Vicky. She's right there, by the way, in case you wonder who she is. Vicky, raise your hand. All right, fantastic. What is it that you see? Uh-huh. Anything else? Sword. Eddie. Nice. she sees another man. Pause. Do you see it?
Mentally.
But you don't see it. You don't see it. That's a problem. He doesn't see it. Y'all following? You don't see it because you can't see it. Because it's behind you. She sees it. And she's got to watch your back. And you got to trust her. You know what's interesting in the military? Anyone in the had been in the military? Right? Yeah? Yeah. Oh, man, this couldn't work any better. God. You know what's crazy in the military? You have to trust your partner. You have to. You have no choice. You have to trust your partner. You know what's crazy? Let me just scroll down and find my notes because this gets better. You know, officers have partners. Why? Because they know evil is out there. They're not running out there going, don't worry, today's the day that no bad guy's going to try to shoot me. They know evil's out there. They know. Soldiers have fellow soldiers. You know, celebrities have entourage. I even know a pastor that has security. I'm like, wow. Why? Because they already know evil exists. Presidents have Secret Service. Why? They're not throwing flowers at them. They know the moment they have an opening. Guys want to be famous for shooting presidents, even if they like them. Even if they like them. Even animals, lions have prides. They don't roll out there by themselves. And they're the king of the beasts. Ha! And yet they roll out there with a team. Yet for some reason, as Christians, we really actually are convinced that we are okay by ourselves. And then we Christianize it. I'm moving with the Spirit. God loves me. I'm a child of God. I don't need anybody. Anybody. And man, Satan's like, you're right. Because all I want to get you alone, all I want to do is get you alone, Eve. And just ask you a question. You sure that God really said that what man has brought together, let no one separate? You sure? Because I'm trying to separate you right now. You sure? Do you really believe that? I'm just saying. Are you really sure? Because, man, the things that the church says to single people. You sure? He's like, what do they say? Go to church. Oh, man. Isn't that crazy? Hey, out of curiosity, what do you see? Who's standing by themselves? He is? Yes. Wow. So you can't see that she's coming. That's tough. But Vicky can. Because she's got your back. But she has a perspective and you still can't see it. Oh, man. Do you realize how much you need each other? Do you see it? Because what do you see? What do you see? What do you see out there?
Two daughters laughing.
Yeah. Are you a pastor?
No.
Good. This works. You are now a pastor. And this is your... This is your congregation. All right? Y'all work with me. This is good stuff. You're a pastor. I'm not running anybody over. Okay, good. You're a pastor. This is your congregation. Every Sunday, you better come with it. They do not care. Can I just tell you a secret? Right? I just want to tell you a secret. Don't tell them, though. They actually do not care what you do during the week. They don't care about your marriage and that the fact that you guys got into an argument, you know, because he can be a jerk sometimes. You don't even know what she just said behind your back. The fact that you told her she has to cook a meal, you came home from work, you're tired, right? They don't care. They don't care that one of your daughters is sick and she threw up on herself, and in the middle of the night, you had to get up because he didn't want to and you got into an argument. They don't care. You know what they care about? A good sermon. You have, depending on the church, roughly about 30 minutes to tell them something. While you had to figure out how to care for your family and love your wife at the same time. And my God, if you don't deliver in those 30 minutes.
It's a tough congregation.
And you know what they're saying? They'll say things like, you went the whole year and you did not talk about marriage. And there's at least one old person who's going to like, not one end time sermon, pastor. You know Jesus is coming again. Where's the talk on Revelation and all of that? You know there's aliens flying around? That's the Nephilim. Somebody else is like, what about us single people, right? For real, right? Do you ever go to church and there's mad messages on marriage and it's like, as a single person, it's like you're corrupt? And then the congregation, they're so, by the way, what's your name?
Bethuel.
Pastor Bethuel is like, he's trying to figure it out. He has no team around him, right? There's no one around him. I need you to understand it. There's no one around him, right? And he's trying to make the church work, right? And the congregation is like, so when y'all gonna meet somebody? And if you're single too long, gay check. Hey, don't laugh and think it's not true. It's true. It's absolutely true. If you're single too long, we start to wonder whether you are straight or not. What a congregation. But you know what they're not doing? I'll tell you later. Hey, pastor, you better come back with a message on Sunday. Oh, you want to go on vacation?
Oh, God.
What? And then some people want to know where you're going. Like, I'm going to Aruba with my wife. Oh.
How did you know that?
How did I know that? I need to quit. I've been doing this far too long. Far too long. Do you follow? By the way, you haven't even talked to the worship leader about your sermon. So he's going to play whatever he wants. So your sermon's on the armor of God, and he's talking about praise. And then one day you got to sit down and deal with him, right? But it's music. And you're like, no one cares. But a few people do, just not the people who show up to you know what I mean? Any worship leader knows this to be true, by the way. You know, they show up like two songs after. I don't know. Maybe it's just my church. But they all do it. And it does not matter if you do hymns. They'll still show up after two songs. But you better come with the sermon. You get what I'm saying? The pressures. Meanwhile, she still has to love you. Oh, by the way, ladies, I didn't forget you guys. He's sitting over there. What were we here for? I know there are two guys over there, but you're probably sitting there going, what do you see? Give me your name. Jess, this is going to be great. It's going to be great. Jess, what do you see? Mm-hmm. But you don't see it. What do you see? Just people sitting on the benches. Yep. They're just sitting back there. Pew sitters. ain't doing a thing. Listen, there's so many chairs here. Absolutely. And they won't come over to the chairs, right? I'm with you. I just don't get it. I just don't. You could rebuke them later. We're good at that. Let's rebuke them. We'll rebuke them with you. And this might actually be your fault, but we can't say that because Pastor Bethuel would never rebuke anyone in their congregation because you know the tithe will go down, which means you'll make less money and more arguments with your bride. You get what I'm saying? By the way, to make this really clear, you don't see it. You don't see it. By the way, let me tell you a secret. My wife doesn't see it either. You don't see it. You're dealing with the family and the kids and all. You got your own stuff. But you don't see it. And a bunch of men get together and you're supposed to talk to each other about what's going on in each other's lives, right? I don't know why you're angry, but you could release your hands, right? It's all right. Let it down. Just put your guard down. It's okay. It's totally okay. You're okay. Yeah, he's on the board. My gosh, let me back up.
That's it, man.
You're supposed to be there for each other. You get together and you talk about, what do you do? How was your day? But never get deep into each other's lives. At men's ministry, you can have 10,000 of them and they do the same thing. The problem is that when you do it that way, you can't see it. You can't see that he's struggling, that he's suffering. And he may or may not share it with you. It depends on how good the barbecue was at his house. But it never gets deeper than the slice you put in the steak. I'm making a point. And I'm hoping, I'm really, 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 really pushing this point because I want you to understand that you're supposed to do something. You are responsible to do something. And what is it? What are you responsible to do? Pray for each other. Why? Because as a wife, you can't see it. You may want to, but you can't see it. He goes off to work. You can't see it. What are you going to do, FaceTime? You can't see it. So the FaceTime you need to have is FaceTime on his behalf. Because no one's responsible to watch his back more than you. That's not their responsibility. And we've made the mistake, for example, you're like, well, somebody's missing. It's kids. Because what people tend to do is to take their teens and dump them into youth group and say, now it's your responsibility to teach them about Jesus and then send them back to us healthy. But God did not give your kids to a church. He gave them to a parents and gave the parents and made them a part of the church so that it is our responsibility to watch their back. They can't watch our backs. Are you crazy? They can barely get off their phone. Pastor, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Do you get what I'm saying? It's to pray for each other. Because there's no way you're going to see the enemy coming. You know, your wife's uncomfortable because she can't see the congregation. She has no idea what they're doing behind there. By the way, that's how the pastor feels. Have no idea what's going on behind there. Has no clue how he might be suffering. And I'm not saying this about pastors. Worship leaders deal with it too. Everyone on the team deals with it. You turn around, now you see what she sees. You're like, I don't trust you. Turn around. Let me see, I kill that armor, baby. But do you get what I'm saying? It really doesn't matter. The fact of it is that God has put us together to pray for each other. So, for example, if you have two guys who are single, what they don't need is the criticism. You know who's got their back? You guys. It's not just each other.
You guys ought to pray for your young people, your single people, your older single people.
People have lost their loved ones, widowed and widowers.
They're single, divorced, single. You are to pray for them, not to invade their life and destroy why they're single. Not to start asking questions as to why they're single.
By the way, not to matchmake them with your cousin or your cousin's cousin's cousin or your other daughter who's just sitting there single too.
Not to go to church just to find someone, though there's nothing wrong with that. That's how I find my bride. The Lord gives, so we take. But the idea is to pray for one another because you cannot see everything.
I did not see this coming. August, I felt a little pinch in my back, thought nothing of it, sitting in the backyard. That was 2020.
September, I was in a hospital, went there, emergency room. She couldn't come with me because she had to be with the kids. She didn't want to leave them alone. I'm in there. They sent me to an orthopedist. November, I could barely walk. I'm now moving around with a cane. December, we took pictures on the floor in the living room, and I couldn't get up off the floor well enough and had to maneuver to get up. January, I find out there's a herniated disc that is literally bending my spine. I did not see that coming. And then I thought I knew the Lord, but I had to learn more about him. And what I learned, I couldn't see it. I saw my wife do things that I did not know she was capable of doing. I told you about her lifting me up with my kids. My daughter, Kira, oh my gosh. The way she cares for me. The way she sits down and pulls together my medication. My 13-year-old. You know what 13-year-olds want to do? Play roadblocks and go hang out with their friends and make fun of their parents. But my 13-year-old is pulling out the medication, counting it out so that my wife could still go to work, so that she didn't have to stay home. I saw power in my kids. I didn't see that coming. Neither did they. I watched my 11-year-old love me every morning, gets up and hugs me and tells me, today's going to be a good day. And every night asks me the same question, was today a good day? And I'm honest with her. Sometimes I say it's not. Every night since we've been here, every single night, my 11-year-old sends us a text message. I love you. Before this injury, they were just kids. Now they're my caretakers. I did not see that coming. But what I did not see coming either was the power in which my wife prayed for me. You know what's interesting? Every argument I had with her disappeared, like everyone. Why is the floor still dirty? All of that's gone. I don't care if it's dirty. I just care that you could clear a path so I could get into the kitchen. That's all I care about. And I watched her pray. Hey, can I tell you? I watched my brothers come over the house as elders and leaders. And they did something that no one has ever done to me before. They brought me and my wife into the living room and anointed us with oil and laid their hands on us and prayed. And I realized that as a pastor, I've messed up. You know what I've messed up? I've not charged my elders with the power that they already have by God.
Oh, by the way, if you're wondering what I'm talking about, is anyone in trouble? Is anyone sick?
Let them go to the elders and let them be prayed for and anointed with oil. And I realized that our duty as leaders was not to criticize how things are going well or not in the church, right, Pastor? The responsibility of our elders is to pray for the congregation. And they came over. Can I tell you, I did not see it coming. One of the guys, he's single. And because he's single, he has more money than he needs.
Because you know when you're married, you don't have a lot of money.
He came over, food, blessed us with food. She blessed us with food. Food. Why? Because she's caring for me and she can't see all the angles. And so somebody came over and blessed us. Do you know how many married couples called and checked on her? Because you know what happens? The pastor gets a lot of glory and they forget who's behind them. Oh, man. Let that sink for a moment. They forget who's behind them. They forget what you do because they only see him. We had pastor's wife call my wife and pray for her and encourage her, sometimes giving her instructions, here's what you can do, preparing her for what I'm going to go through. And the last bit, ladies of the church gathering around us, helping us, loving us, encouraging us, because we did not see it coming. But we also have the Spirit of God, who, according to the scriptures, prays for us, groans for us, with words that we can't express. It's not just each other that we have. We have a church. I pray you don't see this any different than it is. Pray for one another. Meet one another. By the way, the two of you, I bet you don't know each other, do you? Yeah, change that today. Because you're going to know each other for eternity. Do you see that? To watch each other's back. And I pray that the God of all comfort will do exactly what you see here. Protect you and guard you. Keep together so that no one can separate. Put together what should be right. Caring for one another. Loving one another in prayer and not in criticism. And helping one another where we can so that we can have Christ and we can have compassion and we can have care. Yeah? Let's pray. Lord, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for every single person. I'm grateful for this time of worship. Thank you for the perspectives that we have, that we can watch each other's back. And like the word of God says, Lord, help us to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, with this in mind, that we would be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Father, in Jesus' name we come to you. We ask you to help us in our lives, in our relationships, in our friendships. Help us as leaders. Lord, would you encourage us? And we thank you. We thank you for this. Hey, take a moment, just lift up a word of prayer to the Lord. Just right where you are. You can stop standing back to back if you want. You could just lay your hand on the person next to you, even if it's your wife or whatever, brother. Just lift up a word of prayer, quick encouragement and prayer.